Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio on Free CR 855 AM. And we're joined today by Peter Boyle, a Green Left activist journalist, regular writer for Green Left, and also a member of Socialist Alliance. And we have him on the program to have a bit of a discussion around, I guess, what is now we can phrase as Labor's stage three light tax cuts. And in fact, there's as we kind of mentioned in the sort of media, there's been a lot of overhype about these new Labor stage three light tax cuts. And in fact, people are sort of going on about how I think some sections of the media and also some Labor Party people have sort of started going on about how this represents like a very major sort of reform. And it's actually, it's example of why the Labor Party actually really cares for working people. So yeah, good morning, Peter.
Good morning. Yeah. Well, it is a bit of a joke. I mean, though it's a very familiar script for a Labor Party trick on the workers. You know, when after the big struggle by trade unions against John Howard's work choices, Labor got elected and came in and delivered work choices light. And now we're getting the same thing with this really bad tax policy, which they had taken on and were swearing blind, take it on from the coalition, and were swearing blind as recently as a week and a half ago that they were going to implement. It was a shocking thing that was going to deliver 77% of all its benefit to the richest 20%. This was the one that Labor was going to implement. It was actually, you know, but what they've come up with, it's definitely not as extremely bad as that. They're basically cutting the benefit that the richest 20% were going to get under the original stage three by half. But they're still getting the great bulk of the benefit of this tax return. And it's unfortunate that some people are prepared to try and present this stage three light as some sort of huge progressive thing. I think some people, it's because, you know, they were so desperately hoping that, trying and begging for Labor to change its course, that even a slight turn of course has turned them into a cheer squad for Labor. And I think in this group, unfortunately, is the progressive think tank Australia Institute. And they are now providing a kind of a lead, which of course the Labor-controlled trade unions, I think, and others are following happily along, saying, oh, wow, Labor's turned around. But, you know, one of the things that they are so proud of, is, I'm talking about the Labor politicians, is that they figure out they have wedged the coalition over this question, and they have produced two interesting statistics. One is that, this is the Labor Party, one is that the coalition supporters are divided on this, and even the coalition MPs are divided on Labor's version of stage three. But they came up with another statistic that 90% of the benefit of Labor's stage three are going to go to people living in coalition electorates. Now, that should give the game away for people who are cheering on Labor's stage three light as something progressive. And of course, because you can't have it always. They're so caught up in this thing about wedging and all that, they're not thinking about what they're saying to people. Now, one very interesting piece of information that has come out, thanks to the Greens, who asked the Parliamentary Budget Office to do an analysis of Labor's proposed tax cut, came up with, one, what it's going to cost. It's going to cost $320 billion over the next 10 years. Now, we are talking here really big numbers. And, you know, when you take $320 billion out of the budget over the next 10 years, that represents, in the end, services that are going to have to be cut in future budgets. and you know, people are going to be worse off. I mean, ordinary people who depend on social services are going to be worse off. Maybe some government jobs are going to go out of this. So first point, $320 billion hit to the federal budget comes with a social cost. The second point that the parliamentary budget estimates came up with was, despite Labor's being not as bad as what the Liberals were going to bring in with their statutory, nearly half of all the benefit over the next 10 years are going to the top 20% of taxpayers. And 74% are going to the top 40%. Meanwhile, the lowest 20% get less than 1% of the benefit. The lowest 60% get just 26%. Now, if you look at that picture, and I think, you know, we've got to put this as a pie chart, because this gives the game away. Who is getting the money here under Labor's stage tree light? So I think this is very, we've got to get the story across, because Labor's going to town with this now. They think they've got the winner, the winning thing for the next election. Because why? Because they're able to split the coalition. They're doing this because they're still delivering tax cuts to the rich.
And I think that gets into the next kind of important question. It's, I guess, you know, how do we respond to Labor's spin in a sense of, you know, how this is kind of really impacting on ordinary kind of working people, in a sense that actually, in a sense, most working people are actually getting no benefit from their mild reform. And also, I just want to add one thing, Peter, is there's a bit of a very funny spin. I'll read out this very amusing meme that I saw from a local MP, Jed Carney, who's like considered one of the left. She basically produced this kind of meme, which is, Labor's new tax cuts are better for women, bigger for women, and fair for women. In fact, that goes back into the politicians talk and freeze kind of comment. And basically trying to make this argument that, in very vague terms, that this is of some benefit to 90% of women, without any sort of real statistics to back it up. So, yeah, I want to kind of hear your kind of response to those two elements.
We need to explain it in clear language, you know. So in money terms, basically, you know, most workers, people who are working, who have a job, are going to get, you know, at most $15 a week. Those on the lower end of the spectrum, those, you know, on the minimum wage, you're going to get less. So what we're talking, three cups of coffee. That is hardly going to make a dent in the rising cost of living. Mm. And here's another thing which is very interesting, because the treasurer, Miles, has been, you know, going along with this story. Oh, you know, this is not the only thing that's happening. You know, we've been doing all these good stuff, and as a result, real wages, that is wages adjusted for inflation, have been going up over the last two quarters of 2023. Now, that's the technical, that's the headline story that comes up in the Australian Bureau of Statistics for last year. But it's a lie, because there is a hidden, another measurement in that the ABS does, called living costs, which just gives you a more real picture. And the reason why this is the case is that in the 1990s, the cost of the official measurement of inflation, CPI, was adjusted to remove mortgage repayments. Now, everybody knows what the people who are bearing the biggest brunt of struggling to pay mortgages on houses which they think they are going to be theirs are in the working class. And the proportion, because of interest rate rises, the proportion that have their paybacks, that pay them, their mortgage repayments have been shooting up. So in this other hidden statistic, which came out in November last year, called cost of living statistic, it found that if you break up into different groups, working families headed, households headed by workers, actually suffered a 9.7% rise in their real cost of living, compared to 5.4, which is the official CPI measurement. So in actual fact, real wages, when you use the real measurement for increases in cost of living, are continuing to fall. So think about that, and you think they give you $15 and you're supposed to be cheering. But the problem is even worse, because when we're talking about these the benefits of this tax reform, and I divided up into, you know, percentages, the lowest 20%, the highest 20%, we are talking here only about people who are in have a taxable income. But actually lots of people, including people who are fully dependent on pensions and other welfare payments, are below that. People who are earning below $20,000 a year, there are people like that surviving somehow under $20,000 a year. They don't get a cent out of this. Now, actually, according to Ben Phillips, who is an ANU researcher, 86% of households in the lowest 20% of income, and I'm not talking about the lowest 20% of taxpayers, of all houses, will not get a single cent out of either Stage 3, the original Stage 3, or Stage 3 Lite under Labor. So, yes, in reality, there are going to be all these people who are struggling to put food on the table, to pay the rent. Rents are still going up at an alarming rate. They're going to get nothing, but they're still going to give people on more than $200,000 a year a tax cut of $4,500. Why do they need it? You know, if anything, the real argument that we should be putting forward is that the rich need to be taxed more. So we need a tax refund, not that gives us, like, you know, half the ridiculous tax cut that the original statute was in gives to the rich. We need to find ways to tax the rich more so that we don't have to have this 83% of people in the lowest 20% of houses, you know, in this ridiculous situation.
Peter, could I just jump in? It's Zane here. How you going?
How you going?
If you could just riff a bit on what actual progressive tax reform might look like. So a couple of points. The company tax rate now is about 30%. As recently as 1985, that company tax rate was at 45%. Rising Tide, coming out of the blockade last year, they came up with this idea for a 75% tax on fossil fuel profits to fund a transition away from fossil fuel exports. The top individual tax rate as recent as the mid-60s was at 75%. It's now at 45%. And then there's also the question of bracket creep and indexation. No government has ever legislated to index the tax rates so that they keep up with inflation. And the other thing is, why is the minimum wage is, I don't know, 40-something thousand dollars, but you start getting taxed as soon as you earn over $19,600? Why doesn't that mean that effectively the real minimum wage is actually lower than the very pezzy award? Why are we taxing people on minimum wage? Why isn't
just on that point? That's one of the demands that the Anti-Poverty Center has put forward. Raise the threshold at which taxes come in. And I spoke to Christine O'Connell from Anti-Poverty Center, and I was researching this question. She said it was even worse than what you were saying. It cuts in below the Henderson poverty line, not only below the minimum wage. Like you said, that alone would be ridiculous, you know, because it cuts the minimum wage down a lot. You have to start paying taxes, you know, even before you get above the poverty line. How ridiculous is that? So it does need to be raised, and it's one of those demands. But that would be part of if you're thinking of what would be a progressive taxation reform, one big part of it would be to make it more progressive. That is, and principle of progressive taxation, which is a good one, is that the higher your income goes, the bigger percentage effective tax you pay should be. And the whole point of tax reform, whether it's sort of, you know, under a Labor or a Liberal government in the last period, part of neoliberalism is to flatten the thing, to make it more regressive. And that's what, that was the real guts of stage three. It was actually to, it had actually removed, you know, they wanted to lower the rate of taxation for the high income. Now, as you said, all around the world, we have had, examples of really steep, and I'm talking about the capitalist countries. In some jurisdictions in the US, and Thomas Piketty gives examples of this, earlier in the last century, the top marginal tax rate, I'm talking the United States, was as high as 90%. Because really, when you think of it, the logic of it was that once you get to a certain level, you know, $200,000 or $500,000, dollars a year, why do you have to keep getting more and more? Because, you know, unless you accept the logic that we are now living through, where the rich are getting richer all the time. And, you know, recently, actually, I should say, one of the loud voices, or voices that we could have more on our side and we need to amplify, is Oxfam. And personally, I think the reason why Labor decided to do this turnaround, or push Labor to move on ameliorating state street tax treaty, there was this, on January 15th, there was this shocking interview, shockingly performed interview by Anthony Albanese, our Prime Minister, on Radio National. Because the interviewer cited Oxfam leader chief saying, stage three tax cuts was lunacy. You know, in an age where the billionaire class has enriched themselves massively, you know, why are we having tax reforms that actually supercharge this process of inequality? So they're on our side. And actually, to their credit, even after Labor brought in its amendments to stage three, Oxfam has come out and said, no, this is not good enough. This is all the wrong direction. Now, in addition to making the income tax system more steeply progressive, which is, I think, well, Socialist Alliance certainly calls for, including raising the top marginal tax rate to 70%. We haven't quite gone to 90%, but as I said, that's been done before in the United States. Raise the company tax back up to 49%. That's what Socialist Alliance called for. In addition to that, we're calling for a wealth tax, a scrapping for the goods and services tax, which, you know, is a totally regressive tax. It hits the poorest more than it hits the richest. And in addition to that, we should have a super profits tax. Now, see, this is the elephant in the room. You know, every time it comes to Reserve Bank citing on the rates of interest, et cetera, you know, the story comes up, you know, well, we have to do this because we're fighting inflation. But everybody has experienced this, and it's forced the government to have an inquiry into this. Big companies, like the energy companies, the mining companies, and the supermarket companies, have been making super profits by exploiting people's expectations that prices are paying up by whacking on higher and higher margins. They've made huge amounts of money for this, and they need to be taxed on that sort of super profit. So this is that's a range of things that measures that could be done. You know, if we had a Labor government, or if we had a government that had the will and the guts to actually do something for the ordinary people.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that, Peter. We're running out of time now because we've got another interview lined up. But I guess, do you have any kind of final comments that you would like to make?
I think we should have the courage to stand up against what's a bit of a tsunami of cheer squatting for Labor right now, and tell people the truth. Simple as that. Tell people the truth.